Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Today I want to talk to you about the subject, newness of life. Newness of life. I'll be teaching from the book of Romans chapter 7, where the Apostle Paul, in speaking of the believer's union with Christ, makes this statement in verse 4, which I dealt with last week. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." Now, understand that being dead to the law means the law cannot condemn a person. If a person is dead to the law, there is no condemnation. There's no guilt. That person is justified before God. And the law pronounces that person not guilty. In fact, it goes further than that. The law pronounces that person righteous before God. That person has a right relationship with God. And all of that came about, it says here, by the body of Christ. That's his death on the cross, the giving of his humanity on that cross. He died. The God-man died. And he paid the debt. Remember back in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we earn in our lives. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Christ, by his body, his death on the cross, brought eternal life to his people. And he said that you should be married to another. That is a marriage union of faith in Christ, united to Christ, even to him who is raised from the dead. The resurrection speaks of his success, his victory, how death has no hold upon him, has no dominion upon him, and therefore upon his people, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And that fruit unto God is the fruit of faith, the fruit of repentance, the fruit of obedience, the fruit of perseverance. It's all the fruit. And that's a very, very important truth that we have to understand in the gospel and in the whole Bible, is that the believer's life as a Christian in obedience in all ways is not the source of salvation, not the cause of salvation, and not the ground of salvation. It's the fruit of what Christ did. Christ's righteousness, imputed, accounted, charged, is the ground of salvation. The love and power of God, the grace of God, is the source of salvation. But Christ's obedience unto death for his people, his church, God's elect, is the ground of salvation. And everything that a believer experiences in the new birth, in faith, in repentance, in obedience, is the fruit. That's fruit unto God. You see, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says it very succinctly. When it says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then verse 10 says it, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto," not because of, but "unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So don't get that order mixed up. And he says, "For when we were in the flesh, when we were unregenerate, the motions or passions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." Now that describes an unbeliever. All that unbeliever can do, can bring forth, at his worst or at his best, is fruit unto death. He may be like Cain, trying to work his way into God's favor, trying to be the best he can be. But my friend, that's not how salvation is attained, or even maintained. That's not how righteousness comes about. It comes about by the grace of God in Christ. Anything else is fruit unto death. But look at verse 6. He says, but now we are delivered from the law. That's a sinner saved by grace, married to Christ, bringing forth fruit unto God, delivered from the law. Now again, that means to be dead to the law. It means the law cannot condemn us. Or the law can require no obedience from us in order to attain or maintain salvation. Christ already did that. He says, but now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that is, we were dead, being held bondage and captive by the law. And he says the reason we're delivered from that bondage, from that law, is that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now, newness of the spirit, newness of life is what I entitled the message. The newness of the spirit. That's a new spirit that God has given to His people. Some say this is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit works all of this as He comes forth from the Father and the Son to apply life, spiritual, to impart spiritual life to His people. But this newness of the Spirit, what is that? Well, that's serving God as we are motivated by grace, gratitude, and love. It's the opposite of the oldness of the letter. The letter refers to the written law. Now, what he's talking about here is the difference between legalism and liberty. Now, back up in Romans chapter 6, he talked about how when you're brought to faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit in the new birth, you are liberated from sin. Sin's dominion. Sin's deception. In what sense? Does that mean I'm no longer a sinner? Does that mean I no longer have sinful thoughts and sinful passions and sinful motives and goals? No. Those are still around. That's the flesh. That's why we who are saved are in a warfare of the flesh and the spirit. But we're liberated from sin in the sense, number one, that sin cannot condemn us, and sin cannot deceive us so as to keep us in the bondage of legalism and guilt. You see, legalism is gone. What is legalism? It's trying to earn our salvation, trying to earn our blessings and rewards from God based on our obedience to the law. And the motivation of legalism is twofold. It's legal threats of punishment. That's one thing, you know, that we have by nature. And mercenary promises of earned reward. That's legalism. Are you trying to earn your rewards in heaven? Well, that's legalism, my friend. You're serving God for what you can get out of Him, not because of His intrinsic value and glory, and not because He's freely given you all things in Christ. The newness of the Spirit is serving God because of His grace. And I don't earn or deserve grace. The nature of grace is that sinners cannot earn their way into God's favor and rewards. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. You say, well, grace has to come through righteousness. Exactly. But not ours, because we don't have any. It comes through Christ's righteousness. You see, Christ earned all that I have. The Bible says that. It says that in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The benefits and blessings of salvation that come to sinners through Christ is called an inheritance. And it's called an incorruptible inheritance that cannot fade away. Now, if any of that inheritance is based on my obedience, I'm going to tell you something right now. It is corrupted and it can fade away. But if it's based on Christ's obedience, it's incorruptible and it cannot fade away. So, and as I said last week and the week before, people will conclude then, well, if that's true, then why should I obey anything? Why should I do anything good? Why should I try to be good? Because grace, salvation by grace, is not only what Christ has done for us, it also involves what Christ does in us by the Spirit in giving us newness of the Spirit. He gives us a new heart, a new mind to think differently. I don't think like I used to. I used to think that God would bless me if I did my part. Don't think like that anymore. Now I know that I can't, my part is nothing. It's all Christ. I used to think that God would bless me if I would do this, do that. God would save me. God would smile upon me. All of these things that I thought I was earning from God. I don't think like that anymore. I used to think that even though I'm a sinner, I have some good in me. Don't think like that anymore. There's nothing good in me. I have the Holy Spirit. I have a new spirit now, created in me by the Holy Spirit. But my friend, that's not my righteousness before God. That's what I'm saying. My righteousness before God is not within me, and it's not what I do. My righteousness before God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's given me a new heart, new mind. We have the mind of Christ. We receive Him. And then He's given me a new set of affections. Now, I still have the old set of affections. That's the flesh. I still have evil desires, sinful desires. I have to fight them, have to repent of them. But I have a desire to glorify God, to honor Christ, the desire to love God and to love Him. That's put there by the Holy Spirit. That didn't come naturally from me. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. You see, that's a gift of God's grace. And then and it's not a perfection in me, because I'm still having to fight. Even my good desires are contaminated with my evil desires. But you see, I look to Christ as the author and finisher of my faith. He's given me a new will. Before, I didn't have a will to believe God or to come to Him. But He made me willing in the day of His power. So you see, we who are saved serve God in newness of spirit. Now let me show you what Paul writes here in these next few verses. And what he's going to do, he's going to show you how in the past he was brought to this place. He was brought to this place to serve God in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. And it has to do with the issue of the law and sin. And so listen to what he says in verse 7. He says, "What shall we say then? What are we going to conclude about this? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust." Now in your concordance, if you have a biblical concordance, it might say the word concupiscence. And that word is spelled out in verse 8 by the King James translators. And that word, it's a big word, we don't use it today, but we do use the word lust. And it's an unlawful desire. And so Paul says, "For I had not known lust, concupiscence, unlawful desires, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." Thou shalt not covet. Now, think about what he's saying. He had already said, he said, now the law cannot save me. The law cannot make me righteous. The law cannot wash away my sins. The law cannot give me life. All those things. The law can't do it. The law is inadequate. The law is impotent to do that for a sinner. Well, what's the problem then? Is the law sinful? You see, all the law can do for a sinner is expose our sin, our unrighteousness. Over in the book of Romans chapter 3, let me show you that. Listen to what he says here. The Apostle Paul writing here about the sinfulness and depravity of both Jew and Gentile. And he says in verse 9 of Romans 3, "What then, are we better than they?" That is, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? We Jews have the law. We were the chosen people of God under the old covenant for 1,500 years from Sinai to the cross. We were the people through whom God brought the Messiah. We were the people by whom God preserved the Scriptures. Incidentally, He did it in spite of them. It wasn't because of their goodness. Not saying that we're any better, because we're not. Are we better than they? Paul's saying, are we Jews better than the Gentiles? Could we Gentiles say we're any better than the Jews? And the answer is no, in no wise, in no way. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. The law pronounces them guilty. And he says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's the total depravity of man. I've often described total depravity this way. You may have heard that term, total depravity. All men and women by nature, as born into this world, are totally depraved. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're all raving lunatics or raving perverts? No. Does that mean that we're all as bad as we could be? Absolutely not. But it means three things. Here's the total depravity of man as taught in the Bible. You say, well, I don't believe in total depravity. I do, because the Bible teaches it. And here's what it says. Number one, we are not righteous in ourselves. We're born sinners. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. I've heard people say, well, we're born innocent, and then when we make the first choice to sin, then we become sinners. Let me ask you a question. Has there ever been a human being born on this planet in the history of mankind who did not make the choice to sin? I mean, a mere human being. I'm not talking about Christ, the God-man. He didn't make any choice to sin. He's not a sinner. But I'm talking about among us, fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall. There has never been one individual in the history of the whole human race who it can be said of, well, they didn't make the choice to sin, therefore they're not a sinner. Now, why is that? It's because of total depravity. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. We have that fallen human nature. And we can talk about the innocent children and all that in another way. But here's what, listen, spiritual death is the absence of spiritual life. And even one who's spiritually dead can be moral and religious in the eyes of men. But when it comes to salvation and a right relationship with God, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what it says there in Romans 3:10. Don't think yourself to be the exception. We don't have righteousness. We're not righteous. Here's the second thing about depravity. Number one, we're not righteous. Number two, we cannot make ourselves righteous. Not even by our best efforts to obey the law. If we could, then we'd have to say salvation is by works. But we can't. It's not of works. Salvation is by grace. So, number one, we're not righteous. Number two, we can't make ourselves righteous. And number three, here's the kicker. We do not want righteousness God's way. Now, understand what I'm saying now. Don't confuse this. I didn't say man does not want righteousness. He does. But here's the thing. He wants righteousness his way, not God's way. You see, righteousness, man's way, will leave man room to boast. I make the difference between saved and lost. I make the difference between heaven and hell. Righteousness, God's way, gives God all the glory in Christ and leaves us no room to boast. Glory in the Lord. God forbid that I should glory, boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then righteousness, man's way, always brings the standard of righteousness down to his level. So that's total depravity right there. Man has no, we don't have righteousness, we can't work one, and we don't want one God's way. We want it our way, like Cain, by our works. And if we're ever brought to walk righteousness God's way, here's what Paul's saying here. Now look at it. Verse 7 of Romans 7. Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is totally a sin of the heart. Covetousness is wanting things in an evil way, wanting evil things, but it's totally a sin of the heart. You can talk about adultery. That's an act a person commits. You can talk about murder, killing. That's an act a person commits. You can talk about stealing. That's an act a person commits. Now, those things begin in the heart. Christ taught that in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not only a sin to commit the act, but it's a sin to think the thought. But covetousness is totally a sin of the heart. And here's what Paul writes, verse 8, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought or worked in me all manner of concupiscence, all manner of lust, for without the law sin was dead. Now Paul's talking about his life as a Pharisee, trying to keep the law, trying to establish a righteousness of his own. And he didn't see that as evil, but it is. Cain came to God pleading his own works, the works of his hands. Not the blood of the lamb, like Abel, but the works of his hands. That's evil. Those in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Lord, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Is that what they plead before God at judgment? Is that their righteousness before God? Is that what establishes their right relationship with God? No, he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Doesn't measure up. I never knew you. And Paul says here, the sin, for without the law, sin was dead. When I didn't see the extent of the law, how the law reaches the heart, I didn't understand the issue of sin. I thought it was dead. I thought I wasn't a sinner. And he says in verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. When I didn't understand the reality, the exceeding, how the law reaches the heart, I thought I was alive. That means I thought I was saved. I thought I was right with God. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When the Holy Spirit showed Saul of Tarsus who he really was, he says, sin revived. I saw myself as a sinner, without hope, without righteousness, and I died. The law condemned me to death. The wages of sin is death. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. When God gave the commandment, you talk about the Ten Commandments or whatever, when he gave it to Adam, he said it was ordained to life. In other words, the law wasn't just given for that reason, but he says, I found it for me as a sinner. It condemned me to death. Verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it slew me. How was Saul of Tarsus deceived? Was he some raving lunatic or pervert? No, he was a religious man. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Read Philippians 3 sometime. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was trying to keep the law. He was trying to make himself righteous by his works. And he said that was a deception. My friend, if you're trying to make yourself right with God based on your works, you're deceived. You don't know the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Look at verse 12. He says, wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now what he's simply saying here is this. I was deceived. I thought I had some spark of good, good enough that I could earn my way into God's favor. That I could earn my blessings from God. That I could do something to make myself righteous and accepted before God. But when that law came and showed me by the Holy Spirit, convinced me of sin. You know, John 16, Verse 9 says, Christ said, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin because they believe not on me. Without Christ, that's all I can do is bring forth fruit unto death. Without Christ, all I do is sin. No, you may look at me and you say, there's a moral man. He's trying to do well. He's trying to do his best. Without Christ, in the eyes of God, it's all sin. It's all iniquity. It's all unrighteousness without Christ. You see, in order to have a right relationship with God, you have to be washed in the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see that? This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that. That's what it means. So in order to be right with God, my sins must be washed away. What's going to do that? My works? My efforts? No. It's the blood of Christ. The body of Christ. In order to be right with God, I have to have a righteousness that answers the demands and requirements of God's law. Where am I going to find such a righteousness? In my works? In my efforts? In my faith? Absolutely not. The only place, the only person that I can find righteousness is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Back in the Old Testament, Jeremiah mentioned this twice, that the Messiah who was to come would establish judgment and justice, and His name shall be the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Romans 10 and verse 4, Paul wrote, for Christ is the end, the fulfillment, completion, perfection, finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Must I believe? Yes. I must believe that Christ is my remedy for sin, my righteousness before God. Well, I hope this message has been helpful to you, and I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.